Now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's talk hookup. Get ready for more of the best fishing information and the hottest tips on improving your angling skills. Let's Talk Hookup is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And now, Southern California's sports fishing voice, the hosts of Let's Talk Hookup, Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
And welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube and Facebook Live. Pete Gray here along with Corey Sandin and Tim and Duke Ekstrom from the Royal Star. Just got a text. Ricky's boarding his flight in Sitka right now.
Okay.
He's bringing in Dallas to bring him back 130 pounds of fish.
Woo! Nice.
Each, I think. Yeah, that's a lot of fish.
That's a lot.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, yeah, so the limit thing up there hasn't been a factor for them, but, we're having a great time talking limit style fishing here on the Royal Star in San Diego, having fun talking fishing, and we have a great second hour for you.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and having Duke in studio is super cool. Tim, too, you know, Tim's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But having Duke in there, man, I'm learning a lot myself. And,
yeah.
And having the options in
there.
Right?
Yeah.
They were giving away a full-day trip on the Liberty. So the first hour was on 97.3 The Fan. We don't have that. So it's all text this time.
Right.
For the second hour, and taking those texts will be through the app only, and they come right to Pete and I, and you got a question or a comment for the boys here, you can send it, and we're going to give away that full-day trip on the Liberty afterwards. So make sure you leave your name and telephone number so we have a way to get a hold of you. Just stoked to be, you know. And Tim, you mentioned how good he is on the boat, but I have to mention just being around Duke himself is a well-mannered young man.
And he's good, man.
He's got it going.
I want to hear more about how he's hooking these things on the
right,
man. He's like,
yeah,
he's into it. It's all about the vertical.
Yeah, we were just sitting here talking about it. I mean, I don't want to say that knife fish is a young man's game. It's not that, but boy, we were mentioned, like, you really have to be on your A game if you're going to recognize the potential that's there. I mean, it's just as simple as that. It is a really active, really dynamic environment that you have to be 100% engaged. Like if you're out there half asleep, or, you know, if you get one of those crazy wide open schools, yeah, you're going to get some bites. But if it's that fishing where, you know, you're short stopping, there's fish, you got to be engaged. It's hard, active fishing, and you'll get results. But, you know, if it's sleepy time, man.
Yeah. Go back to bed.
Go back to bed.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we'll talk more about that, but it's time for the catch report.
It is. And it's, we've got Captain Mark Wish on the hold. It's our fishjoke.com report. It's sponsored by Gamakatsu. And if you like to fish for tuna, and if you're not using Gamakatsu hooks, you're missing bites. The Nautilus circle hook comes in sizes as small as a number 4 and all the way up to a 6-0. And for the big fish, the Nautilus HD is tough enough but not oversized. Both come with ring or no ring. You can see your local dealer, or you can look at gamakatsu.com. And got them on hold. You got Mark. Good morning, Mark, Mr. Captain Wish.
Good morning, Corey and Pete and Tim and Duke. As always, this is one of my favorite shows. I love listening to you guys talking all this Royal Star tuna fish stuff. It's fun stuff, man. So here we go, guys, with the first official report of the summer season. There's a lot going on for sure, but this weekend, unfortunately, the weather's an issue right now. It's kind of rugged, to say the least, farther offshore especially.
Yeah, yeah.
Be cautious, guys. Yeah, 12 and a half foot of Tanner buoy right now with 20, almost 30 knots on it.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
That's why Tim's on the beach.
Right? No, I took my lumps the last few trips. Yeah, we earned it the hard way.
It's been a nice stretch of weather.
No, it has not. Yeah.
But we're ready. It's July next week, so, you know,
yeah,
or a week
exactly
out. So it's crazy. It's coming. The good weather's coming.
Good weather's coming. And what's really nice about that good weather coming is, like, up there at the Northern Channel Islands, there is so much fish up there. Sea bass, yellows, big halibut. But, man, that weather just kills them from time to time, especially right now. Same with Nick. I mean, good signal when they get the weather windows to get out and look around there on the sand spit. Halibut, few yellows, mostly sea bass. But, man, not right now. Santa Barbara Island, it's right on the edge of the big wind, so it's been kind of fishable, but definitely very miserable. Good grade sea bass, yellows and halibut are all biting there. And, man, when the conditions straighten out, that thing's, it's going to be game on up there, it looks like. Now we're at Catalina. It's getting kind of interesting. You know, all the standard kelp line critters are biting. It's been really, really good bass fishing over there. Everything's, you know, waking up. Water's warm and clean. And, man, the bass are loving it. Smaller yellows on the front side, but the tanker yellows around the back on the bait grounds, man, there's been some really big ones, like 40 plus. The area has been Silver Canyon up to the closure line below China like that. And heavy gear, guys, because, like I said, some of those yellows are really big. So also at Catalina, we got the exotic of the week this week here over at the island yesterday on the party boat, the Sport King, the venerable Sport King, been around forever. And they had a charter with a ladies wounded warrior group. And they had all the usual players, but get this. One of the gals had a black skipjack.
Nice.
Wow. Nice. Now, what the heck is he doing up here?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, you catch down at Cabo, right?
Yeah.
This is California.
Yeah, crazy. And so over at Clemente, you know, some yellows and big sea bass on the squid in the cove has been pretty steady there. Not big volume, but, you know, the fish are pretty big, that's for sure. And I would guess that the gunslingers in that yellowtail shootout this weekend for the tournament there, I'm guessing a lot of them are probably hanging out in the cove hiding from the weather and hopefully they're catching some of that big great yellow there. And locally, God, I got to tell you, the bass fishing on a horseshoe in Huntington Beach, and it's just been really, really good. Best bass fishing of the year and actually in several years. Just a lot of both calicos and sand bass are all ganging up. They got their spawning colors. The sand bass are ganging up in the schools just like we used to see. And it's just fun stuff, good summertime fishing, and we'll get through this little bit of weather and game on for next weekend, I'm sure. Time to go, guys.
Yeah, that's incredible
time
stuff.
Time to go fishing, man. Right? And, yeah, really, really great. And, of course, fishdope.com, they have all you need. Boy, those guys have just been on it with whether it be Coronado Islands, offshore, inshore, Catalina, Santa Rosa, wherever. Fishdope.com has been on the program here. $30 off a new membership to fishdope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space, HOOKUPNOW, your $30 code. And, Mark, how do we find you?
Well, Pete, we're in Huntington Beach. We're on the corner of Bolsa Chica and Edinger. Phone number at the store is 714-840-4262. The website's PacificEdgeTackle.com. And I got a question for Duke, the jigging expert there. So on the Royal Star, you guys are tootling around at night. You see a big school. You announce to the troops, you know, hey, we're coming up on some fish. So is your standard routine to have the guys, as you're sliding up on the fish, you know, work off the bow and then drop their jigs as you're sliding along, or do you just stop the boat and let everybody go wherever? What's the routine?
So everyone drives differently, obviously, but our style and how we run the boat, we'll have everyone slide up to the bow, and we drive really mellow, so our slide isn't necessarily huge. We don't slide at 10 knots and have everyone 1,000 feet behind us. So we'll ask everyone to go up to the bow, and obviously not everyone listens, but the people that do participate in that, they go up to the bow, they drop their jigs on either side because we're still on the slide, we're still moving forward, and everyone will walk back to the stern, and as soon as they get angle, any type of angle where they're not vertical, they'll wind up and restart. And if they cast a little too early, if they cast a little too late, if their jig's a little too light, doesn't matter. They'll still wind up. At that point, you'll cast on the downwind side to try and have the jig, when it gets to depth, be in line with the middle of the stern, or once again, straight up and down, and that'll give you the most fishing time in that zone before you have to wind up and restart again.
That's how you stay vertical.
That's how you stay vertical.
Okay.
Downwind.
Good tip.
Yeah, let the boat drift, and when the boat drifts, you should be pretty much around 250, 360 feet, which is the money zone for those bluefin when they really want to activate.
Yeah. 230 feet, huh?
240, 360, you mean to be that. But this year in particular, we've been seeing a lot of schools that are laying a little bit deeper this year.
Okay.
400, 450. We've been
hard to stay vertical with that, though, huh?
It is.
So you were saying you're not a huge fan of that tungsten. What?
I haven't noticed a difference with it.
No.
I mean, you could fish a 250 gram Cascade jig and get the same amount of bites.
Okay.
I don't think
and cost half the price.
I think the biggest factor of those tungsten jigs is just because they sink fast and guys can stay vertical better than with a different style jig.
And but that little advantage may be, I mean, it might buy a couple few more minutes in the bite zone.
Exactly.
I mean,
for a guy like myself who fishes the jig a little bit differently than others, I don't necessarily need it. But for maybe an older angler that doesn't move around as well, or someone who doesn't have the stamina to keep on jigging all night and fish that keep on winding up and staying vertical, a tungsten might be a little bit better for you.
That's all some good information right there,
for sure.
Okay, Mark, get on the boat.
That was good stuff.
Right?
That was awesome. Thanks, dude.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Appreciate that very much, and we will talk to you next Saturday, Mark.
You got it. We'll see you guys.
All right. Okay, moving on now, we have Rosie from Sedro Sport Fishing. Good morning, Rosie.
Good morning, Rosie.
Good morning, guys. I hope you are all doing very well.
Absolutely.
Down at the island's been a very wonderful, successful week. We did have a little bit of wind early on in the week. And we definitely are blessed that the island sits where the island sits and the wind comes from where the wind comes, because the south lee of the island always tends to be a little more milder than around the rest of the island there. So with that being said, you know, Pete, I don't know if I ever told you guys, but we now have our own bait receiver.
No way.
So, yes way. We decided to do it. So we have a bait receiver and the Pongas, if they would like, can pull up to the bait receiver in the morning, get their mackerel, sardine, whatever they choose, and, you know, out they go. And that saves them from putting out a ceviche and making bait. So, and a lot of guys are choosing to do that. And let me just tell you, this last week, it was so wonderful, because everyone that went up to the bait receiver, their thought was, drop or loop a mackerel, and let's try to get something big. Well, we'll just say that we had a lot of 50-plus pound white sea bass coming over the rail this week.
Whew.
So even though we had a little bit of wind, the guys would drop or loop with a mackerel. And I think our biggest white sea bass of the week was 57, you know, all the way down to the high 20s. So they were definitely enjoying that. And then, you know, we still have a lot of guys out there that really enjoy doing the surface iron. The blue and white was hot this week, along with the mint and white. We're doing really well with yellowtails of all sizes. I think our largest yellowtail this week was 42, and then obviously all the way down. But the name of the game here is, on any line that you are throwing out there, just please make sure it's heavy. We want to get your fish to the rail. We want to get it gaffed. We're telling the guys 60 pound. And we're not kidding. We're not kidding. I've got guys that are saying, well, you know, 40 won't do. It's like, sure, you can try 40, but I bet you'll end up on 60. And they come back and they're like, yeah, we end up on 60. Kelp is still, you know, very thick in certain areas. And a lot of bigger white sea bass are being caught right on the edge of the kelp. And, you know, if you get your fish caught in there, you want to be able to get it out of that kelp. So the heavier line is definitely working for that. Also, we had one spot open up on the Let's Talk Hooked Up trip at the end of July. Great group of guys is going. Bill Varney will be the charter master of that group. So if you got the end of July, beginning of August open, definitely start thinking about it.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of fun right there, Rosie. And just a great place to go and have a good time and unwind. The fish are, come on, they're always fighting. The only bummer about the rest of the boats going to the lee, they're going to be joining me. That's the biggest bummer of the whole thing. There's going to be some exceptional, really good fishing along the lee, Rosie.
There really is. There really is. Even around that salt area, a lot of great activity around there. You know, the calicos are still kind of doing their gig and spawning, and still in June. And a lot of catch and release on the calicos. We've had 150-plus calico days on pongas, so the guys keep their clicker going, and you know, the calicos are just unbelievable down there.
Nothing wrong with that. Sign me up.
Yeah, there you go. Well, hey, if somebody wants to come down to Sedro Sport Fishing, Rosie, how do we do it?
Yeah, you know, the best thing is to look at the schedule and see what dates work for you. We still have some onesie twosies open, a couple of spots that have three since we've now expanded the schedule by having a second lodge. So, yeah, just give me a call, 619-772-7570. We'll go over all of your questions to make sure we get them answered.
Thanks, Rosie. Appreciate that. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Got you guys. Y'all have a great day.
All right. All right. And that concludes the Catch Report. And it's brought to us by the Fish Pros of Fisherman's Process in San Diego. It's where you get your premier processing experience. You can check out the easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. And with more team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity and the finest customer service. You can stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or you can just check them out at fishermansprocessing.com and make your reservation today.
Love that new paint job at Fisherman's Processing, too. The new sign out front.
Oh, yeah.
And you don't miss that, man. You see Fisherman's, you're driving along the street there on Taylor. It's like, there it is, Fisherman's Processing right there.
Yeah, going down Rosecrans, you can see it way before, like you get to Big Five. You know where Rosecrans peels off?
Yeah.
I think it's Camino de la Reina or something, but where it goes onto the freeway, the 8. But you're looking down that corridor, you can see under that bridge for a mile. You can see it. The
facility is amazing. The store inside, you got all those new shirts and all the different clothing that you can get.
Mrs. Ekstrom goes back to her retail roots.
Yeah, the retail roots, man. The retail there is amazing.
She loves it.
Yeah.
She always has.
You can go watch them cut fish. Fisherman's Processing is...
They've really elevated it. And the biggest...
And the quality of the product that comes out.
Yeah, the product is phenomenal. You know, the whole team there and the girls up front, you know, the team of Viviana, who's just a powerhouse.
Oh, yeah.
We've got Rachel. We've got Catherine, who's just incredible. We've got Jordan. I mean, they're all, you know, they're all happy people to begin with, you know, so that happiness is, you know, extended to the service that they offer. They're pleasant to deal with. They return phone calls. They pick up the phone right away. If they're not busy, if they are busy, they'll return a call when there's a message. They even return calls if they see a number that just hangs up, because you know how most men are, myself included. It's like, oh, they don't pick up, hang up, you know, and they call those numbers
back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, you know, there's such a strong focus. And again, this is Mary Lee. She's has a, you know, incredible background, customer service, all those years in retail. So she's really shifted the focus to a premium quality product, premium operation, but focusing on the customer experience. You know, she just wants to make sure that everybody feels incredibly valued and recognizes that it's a professional operation that prioritizes customer experience over everything.
Yeah. So well put.
Yeah.
Do you have a great text?
I do, Pete. And it comes from Doug in Lake Forest. He says, I'm going on a 3-day at the end of the week. And he says, besides the kite, is there still very few daytime biters? And we've talked a little bit about it, but is that like the only daytime action really happening for a 3-day?
Most of it's on the kite. I mean, obviously, there's been a few guys that have gotten lucky enough to catch one on the sinker rig or the flyline baits. But if there is a daytime opportunity, fish heavy line. Do not fish light line.
Right.
60-pound minimum on the flyline, 80 to 100 on the sinker rig. This fish is all mixed up. We've been seeing a little bit more of this 40 to 60 pound fish come through and float up, but the majority of the daytime fish has been well over 100 pounds, anywhere from 100 to 250 pounds.
Man,
so,
wow.
Yeah,
so don't mess around.
Line. And if you do hook one on 40 to 60 pounders and you have it on 60 pound, I think you'll be a lot more confident getting that thing in on 60 than 20 pound. So heavy line.
Heavy line is the key.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. I have a great text here too. And it's from Paul in Fountain Valley, and we kind of covered it, but I think we're getting a ton of texts, and I'm sure you've
a
seen
lot.
It about
yeah.
the jigging.
Yes.
Yeah, and
yes.
Dick, you've really awoken the sleeping giant here, Duke. And it says, Pete, Corey, Tim, and Duke, I'm out here walking my dog in the wind listening to Let's Talk Hookup. Great show as usual. I'm dialed in a little late, and this may have already been discussed. No, we've been discussing it a lot, so don't worry. I would like to hear Tim and Duke's opinion on using heavy tungsten jigs as compared to knife jigs, some of the heavier ones for me, vertical fishing at night. So let's talk a little bit more about that, because that seems to be
the subject that people really want to know. And it's a good question because, you know, you go in, you want one of those tungsten jigs, you're talking 100, fully rigged, $130, right?
Can I tag this one on too,
Pete? Yeah.
Okay, because it's the same similar thing. It'll go right in line with your answer, and it comes from Daniel in Santa Barbara. Good morning, gents. Question for Tim and Duke. How are you rigging the heavier tungsten jigs, and are you running smaller hooks? He says, thank you.
Okay, so we'll start with the rigging aspect. So at first on the rigging, you're going to want a swivel that's crimped at 200 pound or more, because that's going to be your bite guard on top of the jig at night.
A swivel to your main line?
A swivel to the main line, and then your bite guard is going to be a piece of 200 pounds.
200 pounds.
And it doesn't need to be a long piece. It just needs to be enough to where if the fish grabs it and it swallows the jig, it's just going to be a guard against those teeth.
30 inches?
Yeah, something like that.
Fluorocarbon or doesn't matter?
Doesn't matter. Monofilament. I like the mono a little bit better. That way you have a little bit of forgiveness, a little bit of stretch. But you're going to have that bite guard, and then you're going to have it crimped to a split ring that goes onto the jig of your choice, whatever that is, via tungsten, via SK jig, something like that, KV jig. Now, going to the big jigs versus the tungstens. The Rip Roller 500 grams that are 2 feet long and that are 6 inches wide, those things are not getting bites. And if they do get bites, the fish are bouncing off them because it's such a giant surface area, the fish aren't grabbing the hooks as well.
Interesting.
Whereas one of those tungsten jigs, it's a smaller profile, so the fish is able to grab the entire jig and grab the hooks a lot better than one of the giant jigs. Now going back to what we were saying about staying vertical, both those options, they keep you vertical, and me personally, I like a jig that has a little bit more action than a tungsten. I don't think the tungstens have a lot of movement when you actually jig the jig or move the rod tip up. So when you're fishing a tungsten, it's more about staying up and down and getting down in the zone, whereas another jig, you're fishing the jig more, trying to do different actions, whether it's slow pitching, fast pitching, straight winding it. The jig has a little bit more action versus a tungsten.
I mean, it's really cool. A lot of those jigs have those angled cuts and all that, you know, where they're made to grab, once they get slack, they're made to grab water and go vertical.
Yeah.
Or horizontal, I mean.
Well, I mean, you think what it's replicating a squid, right? So you think about a squid, you see how they, you know, they squirt.
Moving,
you
yeah.
Just see how a squid moves, even when he's not active. But you know how it makes perfect sense.
They cut out and go horizontal or whatever they do. Yeah.
Yep.
90 degree.
What about the eddy bomb?
Eddy bomb's the same deal. It's just getting straight up and down. That's the whole purpose of them. I think they were a lot more popular before when these tungstens weren't as popular.
Yeah.
So they're still plenty effective. I mean, we still have guys that are fishing them and getting plenty of bites on them.
Okay.
And going to hooks now. So on our boat, obviously we choose to have either two on the bottom or two on the top. You can't have them separated. You can't have one on the top and one on the bottom. It has to be on one side of the jig. And that's solely for our protection as crewmen, because we're spiking the fish and trying to take care of that product. And when there's hooks everywhere, we've already had a few incidents where we've had those giant 8-0 assist hooks in our forearms and in our wrists. So
not a good scenario.
Not really that fun.
No.
And a lot of near misses.
Yeah. So.
Scary.
So, yeah, not fun stuff.
Because those hooks.
So one on the top, one on the bottom.
No.
Either
one hook.
Either two on the top or two on the bottom.
Two on the top or two on the bottom.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about what Duke's going to do. Okay. Duke's going to set up a rig and he's going to put it out. Okay.
Okay.
What are you going to do? Where are you going to put your hooks? We already know your bite leader. What jig are you going to use if the fish are at 300 feet? Tim says, okay, fish at 300 feet.
Okay, so wait, we got to have a caveat in there because it's conditions-based.
Yep,
right. I mean, like, is it blowing 20? Is it blowing 8 knots? Because that really factors into what you're going to do.
Let's say, like, let a guy gets in. It's blowing 20. It's bumpy.
A little grumpy.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a little grumpy. The fisherman that I am, I cast the jig really far. That way I can get it straight up and down.
Downwind.
Downwind. So I'll fish either a KB 250 or 300 or an SK 250 or 300.
Okay.
And I'll have two hooks on the bottom of that jig. So then I'll cast it downwind. And I'll
two hooks on the?
On the bottom.
On the bottom.
On the bottom. And that's either a 6-0 or a 7-0. Okay. Whether it's that Mustad or the Gamagatsu, is it 720? I think
yeah.
It is. But once we cast that jig down and he says they're 300, I'll go past that a little ways.
Okay.
Cause you think about that line, you're going to have some scope in there no matter what.
Yeah.
Even if you are straightened down, that jig's still going to have a little angle down there. So I'll go a little bit past that. I'll go around 350, 320 around that. And then I'll start my jigging,
okay.
Whether that's slow pitching, whether that's fast pitching. And we can tell what the fish are doing. If they're really biting, most of the time you'll get bit on the sink, but sometimes they're not. I'll slow pitch it. So that's lifting the rod tip up super, super slow and having the jig flutter faster and then winding in the slack and doing that slow as opposed to moving the
rod
tip super
fast,
winding in that line and trying to make the jig move as fast as you can.
Okay.
So. And you're bringing it up through the water column and thus trying to attract one through the school.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so cool. one more point I'm going to put on that. I'm not winding the jig all the way back up to the surface. I'll try and get as many drops as I can through that zone before I need to wind up.
As long as it stays vertical.
As long as it stays vertical. Now, if I have any angle, I'll wind up and repeat
like,
the process.
How much angle? What are you talking about?
When it's not straight up and down.
Literally
any angle. If there's 5 degrees, if it's 5 degrees,
okay.
I'll start winding it up.
Okay.
Because I know that jig's still scoped another 50 feet off her.
Sure.
I might let it go to 10 degrees. It depends. A lot of it, of course, there another factor is how much action is going on around you.
Right.
If you got 5 or 6 fish going, get it out of there. You're either not going to get a bite or you're going to get a bite and it's going to be a disaster.
Yeah.
Or you're going to be a part of a disaster.
Yeah.
So you just get it out of there. And very rarely when you make that downwind cast, very rarely are there fish out there downwind because, the boat's drifting. Most everything goes upwind or the stuff that's downwind, it comes right down the side and goes around the stern and goes back upwind. So that's a much safer place to fish. Generally, then, if you get, on the upwind side where all the action is going on. One other thing technique-wise I wanted to add, I've had a lot of bites doing this. So Duke was saying you get past the fish or you make 2 or 3 drops and you don't get one jig. I like to wind it up really rip it through there, maybe up to like 200, 60 feet, or rip it up and then bam, kick it back out of gear. So it's ripping up and throw it out of gear and it's like something trying to flee and up.
And then it goes back down
and then
bang.
So many times you get a bite doing that. Just ripping it, take it out of gear, and boom, they grab it right when
I can feel it right now. Seriously.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a total reaction bite.
Yeah,
I love
exactly.
It.
Yeah, sure. Oh, there it is. Here.
Yeah.
We're looking at, oh, it stops. On
so
it.
Crankbait.
Awesome. Yeah, it is. Absolutely. Freshwater crankbait or weedless calico through the kelp. Reaction. You got me.
Well, hey, Mike Lum is on the line. Captain Rollo's Kids of Sea. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Mr. Hey, good morning, guys.
Morning.
Thanks for such a great show. This is exciting. Duke is adding excitement to the show, Pete.
Yes,
I know.
Is. There's no question about
that. I can feel
that. It.
Makes me want to go fishing right now.
Yes, please.
Hey, what I'm actually doing right now is I'm working my way down to San Diego in preparation for tomorrow's captain's reception for Two and Wars 10. And tomorrow at 4 o'clock over at Dana Landing, we're going to have a bunch of fun stuff going on, some great food, a lot of great prizes, some auctions, and really kind of a who's who of the fishing industry is going to be there. Several of the prominent San Diego fleet guys are going to be there. Frank Lopresti is going to be there. Harold Davis is coming down from Morro Bay to help us. And, of course, we've got the Wicked Tuna captains, Bob Cook, Dave Marciano, and Nancy Marciano coming out. They're on route right now. And they're going to be there tomorrow at 4 o'clock. This event is kicking off Tuna Wars, which is a fishing tournament that will take place on Tuesday and Wednesday. But this reception is open to the entire public, and there is no charge to attend. If you want to partake in the food and drink, we are asking for a $30 donation for a wristband. But all the rest of it is free. You don't need a ticket. You don't need to wait in line. Just show up over at Dana Landing tomorrow. Between 4 and 7, and you can walk right in and take part in this, get autographs or take pictures or shake hands or say hi to old friends or whatever you want to do. And all of this has to do with raising money to take kids on their first ocean fishing trip. That is what Captain Rollo Kids at Sea is all about. And we, as you guys all know and all support us on all these efforts we have throughout the year, we can't take kids fishing if we don't have the funding. And the funding comes to us in the form of donations from products and, of course, all the generous listeners that come to these events and help us raise money And we have exceeded 150,000 kids since this organization was founded back in 1999. And we are still going strong. And every year we reach more and more and more kids. We couldn't do it without the help of the listeners, the industry, and, of course, Let's Talk Hookup.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Thanks for that. And, you know, it's just an awesome deal. And it's going to be so much fun tomorrow with both Dave Marciano, such a character,
oh,
and Nancy's a
funny
character, and then Bob Cook, such a cool guy. You can learn a lot about bluefin tuna fishing from those guys. Just hang out. And it's free. Just come in, and if you want the food, which I think you'd be
for
crazy
$30,
the food is incredible. I'll be there, and Corey will be there. And I like to say Frank will be there, and it's going to be a very good afternoon. 4 o'clock tomorrow at Dana Landing. Just come on by and join us, and some great prizes, some great fun, and we'll see you there.
We will be there, and thanks again for all the support, Pete. We really appreciate it.
You bet. Our pleasure. It's one of our passions there is taking kids fishing, for sure. All right, Mike. Appreciate all your hard work, and we'll see you tomorrow, 4 o'clock, Dana Landing.
All right. See you there.
All right.
Bye-bye. Ah, good stuff. Look forward to it. We're going to be right back. I look forward to another session with Tim and Duke Ekstrom when we return on the Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, and Facebook Live.
Many years ago, Baja pioneer Bob Van Wormer found the area he called the Great Fish Trap in the East Cape of Southern Baja and built what is now regarded as the premier East Cape resorts of Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Today, following in their father's footsteps, Bob's sons, Bobby, Chucky, and Eddie, have taken Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol to new levels with the largest sport fishing fleet in Mexico, a luxurious spa, and top-of-the-line resort amenities. Van Wormer resorts have become a destination for travelers worldwide. But for us, Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol are just a short 2-hour flight away. No other tropical fishing destination offers the experience and value that you'll find at Palmas de Cortez and Playa del Sol. Now you can plan your Baja fishing vacation quick and easy by visiting VanWormerResorts.com. And when you're ready to book, it's quick and easy. Or simply call 877-777-TUNA for more information. Van Wormer Resorts, the East Cape's finest.
Hey anglers, AFCO Pro Captain Ben Florentino of Coastal Charters here. As a full-time guide, I'm on the water all year long. It's my livelihood. Having the right clothing is of the utmost importance to staying warm, dry, cool, and comfortable to endure whatever the Pacific wants to throw at me. Thankfully, I'm equipped with AFCO clothing to keep me dialed season after season. Do yourself a favor and check out AFCO's award-winning gear at a dealer near you, or learn more at afco.com.
Hey, it's time to talk about great gear from Shimano. And I'll tell you what, when you're talking about fishing big bluefin tuna, there's this one reel, and that's the Talica.
Yeah, I mean, go down the list, but I was going to say, and we've talked about it before.
Which one? Which one are you going to say?
The winch.
Yep.
The Talica 50.
The 50.
That
thing is
unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, that is our go-to kite reel.
Yeah.
But any other kind of fish, you know, obviously we use it down below fishing those big tuna, but the torque, the drive, I mean, you hook one with that and you're in the driver's seat, man. I mean, the confidence level, you know, that you have.
Even the 25.
Oh, those
or the 20. Right.
The 20 was the Guadalupe special. That so.
Oh my gosh.
But the for jigging at night, you know, I mean, that 20.
Yeah. 20,
oh my, or the 25. Lethal. Absolutely.
Check it out at your local Shimano.
One Rod has set the standard for serious saltwater anglers worldwide, and that's CalStar. From the rugged dependability of the West Coast series, the lightweight strength of the Graphiter, or the performance of the GG series, all CalStar rods are handmade right here in Southern California of the finest materials and craftsmanship. Check out the new CalStar models now available, as well as upgrades to the classic rods that you know and love. If you want your tackle to be state-of-the-art tools to get the job done right, it's CalStar at fine tackle dealers.
Seasoned long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Cates and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3, and you'll be back. Trips go fast, so check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. And
Pete, I'm having so much fun with these two in here, man. Yeah. I appreciate you having me and
super
just
good.
Having a good time on Let's Talk Cooking.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thanks for being here. Ricky will be back tomorrow, but then you'll be back with Ricky next Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, so that'll
be fun. Yeah, lots of fun. But hey, let's head down to the East Cape right now. Our good buddy Chris Moyers with Smokey's Curing Company and Cantina has the Baja Report. Good morning, Chris.
Pedro, Corey, Captain Tim, Duke, buenos dias, guys. How are you doing?
Buenos dias, excelente. Wow. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. By the way, great show. I love listening to this Captain Tim giving his knowledge to his son and carrying on tradition. Good job.
Absolutely. Fantastic. So what's fighting down there?
Well, I'll tell you guys, we've been on such a run down here. I've been saying it's just been unreal fishing. Kind of, we fell off a little bit this past week. I think it had to do a little bit with the full moon we had. And then we've had a little bit of rough seas out on the outside a little bit that's kind of been deterring guys going out on the, say, the pongas or the smaller charters. But we're getting back in the swing of things. But in terms of the tuna, they're coming back, but they're 40 miles out. And they're probably in the 15 to 30-pound range, but we did get quite a few in the 50 to 65-pound range. And so, you know, we're coming back there. That's been our staple the past these 2 months. But anyway, in terms of marlin, they're still everywhere out there, stripers and even a handful of blues, which I've been saying it's so early to catch all those. As a matter of fact, I was talking to our mutual friends, Chris and Judy Barrick, yesterday at Smokey's. They got out on Wednesday. They caught a real nice about a 250-pound blue, and, of course, released it. But Chris had that on video, and I was able to see that. So it was a great, really nice fish. The fishing inshore hasn't really been affected. Plenty of roosters. If you want to go for roosters, just head out there to the Alta de Marina and La Rivera. Or if you want to go over to Punta Reina at the lighthouse and around that bay, Del Rincon. Plenty of rooster fishing, pargos, pompanos. Man, also, we're still seeing some really nice wahoo fishing, guys. And like, in the 40 to 50 pound range. And, you know, I'd say for sure almost about 20 this past week. And, just close in, between, La Rivera and Punta Reina, to the south and then right there at Punta Pescadero to the north. And, so lots of nice wahoo coming in. Dorado fishing real slow. So we're looking, you know, we're hoping that starts picking up because we've got, now less than a month until the Dorado shootout. But it'll pick up. It's the East Cape. And in terms of bait, you know, plenty of sardines. We got caballito, which are good for the marlin and the tuna. And guys are fishing the green jack for the rooster fish right there inshore and also, marlin. So anyway, yeah, I mean, I think we're due to pick it up there a little bit, but it hasn't been too bad.
Yeah. All right. Well, next week, I mean, we're just approaching July here, and that's kind of the best time of the year down in the East Cape. And, of course, how's the bite at the cantina?
Oh, man. Well, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on the outside. It's always – the bite's always on at Smokey's, man. And as a matter of fact, I think we're going to gear up next weekend, probably going to do another rib night here probably next Saturday night. We don't do it this time of year every week, but maybe every couple few weeks. So – we'll be doing the rib night here next weekend.
All right. Fantastic. And, of course, Vaquera, the number one boat down in the East Cape, you want to book that? Do you have openings here in the prime season?
Yeah, we've got plenty of openings. We're booking every day, but we've got plenty of openings, and you can get a hold of us at vaquerasportfishing.com. You can email me at bajasmokedog2gs@gmail.com. And you can call me at 858-231-1358. Matter of fact, I'm going to go out on Monday here. I'm going to get a day out with the boys, go have some cold pops and see what we can find.
All right. Good luck, Chris, and thanks a lot for that East Cape report. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Take care, guys.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Appreciate that very much. You have a good text, huh?
I do, yes. And it comes from JJ in Ocean Beach. And says, good morning, Pete, Corey, Tim, and Duke. What a great show. Lots of amazing knowledge. My question is for Duke. What are your favorite knots to use? Number one, braid to gold label and straight braid to your hook. Okay, so there's two different knots there. Braid to fluoro and then braid to the lure. And what's the biggest fish you ever caught? And the final question is for his sister. And he says, are you single? She thinks you're hot.
Yes, I am. Okay, so Spectre to fluorocarbon or monofilament, I like the Bob Sands knot. I think it holds really well. there's a lot of guys that use the FG knot, and it's a hard knot to cinch down if you don't know how to tie it well. So I've stuck with the Voss Hands. I've been tying it for 13 years now, so it has not broken me yet.
Never an issue. What about the RP knot?
I don't like the RP knot.
No, slips. Really? Oh, slips. With the heavier line, maybe.
Slips.
Okay.
With slips a lot. So Voss Hands is my go-to knot. It's the three-turn uni, and then you do eight down, eight up, through the loop, pull tight, good to go. Spectra to the hook in general, I'll tie usually like a double San Diego on that. I think it fishes fine, especially when you're tying it to like a bite leader for your knife jig setup. And then fluoro to a hook, I'll throw, when it's heavier line, like 100 pound and more, I'll tie the five turn trilling. That knot is the best.
Tim caught me the five turn trilling, yeah. Man. That is.
It doesn't break.
That is an impossible block.
Yeah. It doesn't break.
It's not an easy knot to tie.
No.
You gotta get it right.
Yeah, you gotta practice right. That.
Yeah, but that is a knot. And for lighter applications, I'll just tie a normal San Diego. San Diego or a Palomar on your dropper loops.
And the biggest fish you ever caught?
Oh shit.
I don't even know.
140, 150 pounds?
Yeah.
For sure it was, yeah. I haven't caught one over 200. I hook it in plenty. But
right.
I can't say that I've caught one over 200 by myself.
Yeah, for sure. A great text here from Dennis, and he says, I love Fisherman's Processing. The 5-mil bags keep fresh for the longest time. I have had bluefin for over a year, and it's still so fresh. Thanks. See you in a few weeks on the Let's Talk Hookup 4-day trip.
Oh, that's epic. Yeah. Thank you. Hey, if I had to add one thing, and you know, we've said it a million times, so I'll keep it short, but make a reservation. Make a reservation. Yeah. Because we want to, I mean, Royal Star Anglers, everybody, you know, Fisherman's Processing, you know, obviously the majority of ownership is on Royal Star, but we don't prioritize Royal Star over other customers. Customers are customers, and you know, Mrs. Ekstrom is, you know, she's dedicated to make sure that service is premium for everyone. That said, the reservation system is open for everyone. And if you don't make a reservation ahead of time and then, you know, the day of your trip, oh, yeah, that's right, I go to make a reservation. Hey, that same day fills up. It does, especially as we get into the summer. We can only process so many orders same day. You know, I want to say they have it capped at, I don't want to talk out of turn, but it's somewhere in the high 20s, maybe a little bit more. Variability in there because we don't know what's coming in. If catching is down or, you know, one a piece, we can increase our same day capacity, but the reservations are really important so we can staff accordingly. But we want to make sure that our anglers are prioritized, and we prioritize them by making that reservation.
Make the reservation.
That way we know.
Yeah. And, so the earlier you make the reservation, the more, if you're doing same day, they're going to call you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, even also, we just have so much capacity. We can only take so much fish in, and it's a lot. But when the season's ramped up, everybody's running, we can hit that a lot mark pretty quickly.
Pretty fast.
And let me tell you the nightmare of all nightmares. You come up to Fisherman's Processing. I'd like to have my fish processed. Sorry, we're full. That's a nightmare.
Then what?
Yeah.
Then what?
Then what? Now, I mean, now there's three processors. Maybe they'll have capacities. That's maybe fine. Not. But, you know, I don't want to ever – Mrs. Ekstrom, our team up there, doesn't want to have to be put in that position where, you know, if you had just made a reservation 2 months ago or a month ago before your trip.
Or a week ago sometimes.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. But,
maybe, you know, but the better – earlier the better.
Better earlier than
– yeah. Months.
So anyway.
I have another great text here, and it's from Jack and Ramona. And let me bring it up here. And it says, good morning, man. After you get a bite on these big bluefin, do you keep the reel in high gear or drop it to low?
Ooh, that's a really good question.
Really good question.
Keep it in high as long as possible.
Yeah?
Because you never know when that fish is going to head shake and charge the boat where you need to catch up to it, whereas that low gear ratio, you aren't getting nearly as much line as that high gear.
So and when do you drop it to low?
When you're in circle and you have constant tension on the fish.
Okay.
So when that fish is constantly and you have a good bend in the rod and it's straight up and down, that's when I'll go in low.
That's when you go in low.
If it's outside and it's running across, not vertical, once again, I keep it in high. Just in case that fish charges you, you want to be in high gear and catch up that line and keep constant tension with it.
Yeah, basically, if you can't turn the handle in high gear, then you can put it in low. But it's really a good point. And we made it earlier with those jigging reels, that high gear rate. And you just keep that constant pressure on them, turning it. Those bluefin will come right towards that pressure. you know, they'll make that first run, get jerky, turn around. As long as you keep taking up, you don't give them any. If you're in low gear, that and that thing turns and comes at you, it's going to turn its head, and once it turns its head and gets
you're done.
It's going to smoke you. You know, it's like another 50-yard run. Another, you know, you're just extending that battle.
I want to ask you the scenario you just laid out, where the fish is coming up like that in high gear and you're getting it coming. Same thing during the day, or is that mostly nighttime?
They will do that during the day. Yes, bluefin are notorious. Like they really don't. Very, very different than yellowfin, where yellowfin, typically you hook one and they smoke you. You know, I mean, they take a long run and then the battle begins. And bluefin, I would say the vast majority of the time, they might make a short run. They might, you know, a short being 50 yards or 75 yards, and you wind them just pretty much right up. They come up and it's like, oh, color. And you know, you're thinking, yeah, I'm going to get them. And then the battle begins. Like those.
The head shaking and redirection.
You know, so-and-so's. God, man. I mean, I've seen color for 30 minutes. The thing is just, you know, just the meanest, baddest under the boat, the wheel back and, you know, they get to like that certain depth and man.
Squirrely.
Oh, yeah, squirrely.
And the yellowfin will be more in the circle and more in a pattern.
Yeah, usually they, you know, they make that big long run, the battle, you know, the battle ensues. And then, you know, by the time you get him up to color, he's basically exhausted, you know, most of the time he's exhausted. So, you know, it's the circle and up he comes. Doesn't go that way every time, but you know, it does more often with yellowfin and bluefin. Yeah. Bluefin are just notorious for that. Get them up to color and then that head shaking, jerking, yeah, you know, back and forth, up and down the side, under the boat.
And the crazy thing is the bluefin doing that have more teeth than the yellowfin, right?
Oh, yeah.
Right, more exaggerated. So that's why the heavy.
Yeah.
Whether you're jig fishing, bait fishing, whatever it is. I mean,
you really cycle through a lot of them. And that's why, like Duke said, you got to have that. You got to have that
chafing gear.
Yeah. Chafe gear and the bite protector, yeah, there.
200 minimum, 500 pound even better.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've fished longline. Really longline cord on it before.
Tuna cord?
Not tuna cord.
No, just super heavy mono. Like, it's at least 300 pound. And yeah, we, like,
they're
we
not going to see it at night, right?
No. And we rig all our kite gear with that.
Yeah,
just 300 pounds. Big. Yeah, it's cable.
I like it.
Yeah, they don't buy it.
Corey loves big lines.
Get it done.
Yeah.
You have a great text, huh?
Oh, I do. I mean, there's so many coming through. It's crazy. It's more about home fish care. Good morning, boys. I have a question about fish care at home. How long should I leave a fish in the cooler on ice, and how long is too long? And that comes from Rory in Lakeside.
What kind of fish are we talking about?
I don't know.
About?
That's a good one. I mean, if it was a tuna, let's go with the tuna.
It depends on the ice. I mean,
yeah.
All ice is doing is you're trying to maintain the same core temperature.
Right.
At the same time. So I'll think of it as an RSW system. So
yeah,
we can keep our product in there for 2 weeks, basically. 2 weeks. So if that temperature stays the same, if there's no differential in the temperature, I'm sure you can keep it in there for 2 weeks. But if that core temperature stays the same.
And I think more importantly, like, from doing home stuff, like that first 24 hours, like over that, you've got a nice hard brick to work with and
yep,
chilled from the core, yeah, and at minimal 24 hours.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it's like how long do you, if you're bringing it home, how long do you want it to sit in that cooler?
I know.
I mean, if you're going to have it on ice, and I'm going back to the salmon boats up north, you know, we'd have 7 days is what we would max out at. But that was saltwater ice and it was dry. You know, I mean, if it's sitting there in slush, that's not as good as ice that, you know, even if they add a little salt so it stays in ice form, it doesn't turn into a liquid or a semi-liquid. If you're going to keep it in your cooler for a long time, whatever, you can't get to it, you know, you can't fillet it for 4 or 5 days. Okay, fine, but don't let the ice turn into soup, you know, because that's going to affect the quality of
yeah,
of
you want it cold.
Yeah, so keep it packed in good,
in good,
you know,
ice.
Hard ice. Yeah. I say hard, you know, but ice is just not wet, yeah, you know what I'm saying?
What about throwing salt into that ice?
Oh, yeah,
to keep
it
cold.
That'll get it colder. Oh,
keep
yeah,
it colder.
Keep it colder.
If you put too much, though, you'll freeze the damn thing.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All right. Some good tips.
Interesting.
There. Hey, yeah, another good, really good question from Doug in Oregon. Do you find schools at 300 compared to 150 or 200 more likely to bite wide open?
Oh, you know, I want to go back to this question. Yeah, the question earlier. Remember, who was it?
Seeing him at 250.
Yeah, he was talking about asking if we see him at 200. We do run the meter way down. It's like right in that transition from dark to, or from dusk to dark. A lot of times we'll just be drifting along, you know, wait for dark. And you run the meter and the sonar way down there, 150, 180 fathom. You'll see him down there. Yeah, you see him
100
slowly.
Fathom.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Slowly. And we hook them down there too. If they're down there.
If so, you know they're there, you can drop down.
And if somebody's motivated, hey, you want to drop down there 600, 700 feet and try it. And we get bites down
there.
That
is crazy.
Yeah, we do. As long as it's, you know, if it's calm weather, you can get down there.
Are they down there feeding that deep?
For sure.
Or is it travel? What is it?
Hey, this last trip, we were fishing that west wing of the butterfly bank and they had sable fish in them and little bottom grabbers. They were down there. 250, 300 fathom grubbing that.
Yeah.
But
they're sable fish. They're over 1,000 feet.
Yeah, right? But I don't see, you know, on the sonar, typically we'll see the fish up shallow on the sonar. Like we'll run around at night and the majority of the time, like I'll have it and every boat's different based on how deep the sonar is and how much, throw they have in the shaft coming out of the sea chest, da, da, da. But I run it at like 600 degrees, 18 degrees of tilt, which is, you know, basically going from 40 feet to 240 or 40, you know, 40 to 280 roughly is the beam that's sweeping out in front of us. And most of the time we'll see them at the top of the beam. You know, they're up there kind of shallow, swimming along at, you know, 20 feet to 20 to 60 feet.
And you're coming in underneath them.
You see them up there. And then as you get close, they dive down, you know. So you'll get them on the meter. They'll, oh, okay, I see them down there at 30 fathom or 40 fathom. But they weren't swimming up there. They weren't swimming at 40 fathom when you pinged them on the sonar. They were up high. You know, up there at 40, 60 feet, whatever it may be. And they just.
Interesting.
That's what they do most of the time.
So it's hard to say what's going to bite better, the stuff high or lower. What's going to bite wide open is.
Oh, I don't think you can make that determination based on where you see it. I mean,
nighttime?
A lot of times at night, I'm going to
answer one thing.
Do it.
A lot of times at night, those smaller fish, smaller being like those 20 to 60 pounders, if you see them, they're going to be a little bit shallower. You'll see those at like 20 to 30 pounds.
And they'll go off a little more wide.
Once again, it all depends. But that, you will see the smaller fish a little bit higher than the bigger fish.
The bigger fish
usually lay in between 40 and 60.
Pounds. Night and day?
Night. Day, they kind of lurk along a certain.
They have a different signature on the machines, too. They get real balled up tight. They almost look like bait, you know, when there's those little fish.
I get geeked out on this, man.
I know.
I'm not an offshore tuna guy, right? But I love hearing that. I mean, I love learning and. Yeah, I'm learning from Duke. Even,
yeah,
man.
For sure. You have a good one?
I actually
have a good one here. So let me open it up here. It's from Steve in Monrovia. He says, great show this morning. Tim and Duke in studio. Just a comment about Tim. I fished a lot on the Royal Polaris back when Tim worked for Frank, and I just remember his incredible energy. I could not believe how he could keep moving between gaffing fish, untangling anglers, scrubbing the deck, and all the other choices that take place on the boat. Seems like he never stopped moving. There's no wonder he went on to great heights with his own business on the Royal Star. Well deserved for sure.
You know, my nickname around my house, it's perpetual motion.
Perpetual motion.
Is that true, Duke?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
But
back, 3 a.m.
Yeah, like back in the day, especially. There were so many times that when I was running Royal Star, I kid you not, we get a jig strike, whatever it be, I see something on the meter, and I would be the first line in the water. Like, I'm
like
driving.
Right then.
Pull it back, fly down the ladder, pin a bait on, drop it back. Yeah. Everybody's walking out of the galley, and I've already got one on.
That's hilarious.
Like, what are you guys doing? Yeah, like, come on, get out of here.
You're Frank, I'm like, come on!
That's hilarious.
Oh, yeah. Many a time.
I have to tell you, Tim, spending 2 hours with you and Duke, not that you don't give me the energy and the enthusiasm to want to go. Sitting next to Duke and talking with Duke, I want to jump on the boat and go fishing with you, man.
Let's do it.
Right? Yeah. Hey, we're going to be right back. We're going to find out who's won this trip on the Liberty when we return on the Let's Talk Hook Up app, YouTube, and Facebook Live.
Hi, this is Christy Wheeler with Dawson & Associates Insurance, your full-service agency specializing in boat insurance, including charter, commercial, and personal use boats. business insurance, and travel insurance. We work hard to get you the most coverage for the best prices and guarantee the lowest rates available on all the travel plans we offer. So give us a call today at Dawson & Associates Insurance at 619-460-5615 for a free quote today.
The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. Our hardworking crew will make your fishing experience one to remember. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet is second to none. Fisherman's Landing is a full-service sport fishing operation offering great half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the spacious and comfortable 85-foot Liberty. With bunks for your comfort, a huge bait capacity, and RSW fish holds to keep your catch fresh. Fisherman's Landing also boasts the best captains and crews in the business, from seasoned veterans to our young future legends. All our open party trips from half-day, full, or 1 to 3 day trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com or give us a call at 619-221-8500. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
When you're offshore fishing, the right gear makes all the difference, and that includes Fujinon stabilized binoculars from Baker Marine. Baker Marine has been selling binoculars for decades, and more importantly, they service all brands right at their San Diego Shelter Island location. Need the best? The Fujinon Staboscope is the professional's choice. Looking for top-tier stabilization at a great price? The Fujinon Technostabi TSX 1440 delivers rock-steady vision, even in rough waters. Perfect for serious anglers. Baker Marine is the largest Fujinon retailer on the West Coast, and when you buy from them, they will be there when your binoculars need service. Plus, they'll give you a great price on all their in-stock Fujinon binoculars. Stop by their store on Shelter Island in San Diego and test a pair of Fujinon binoculars and see which one is right for you. The fishing season is here, and you know you need a pair of stabilized binoculars. So get them from the experts at Baker Marine. Learn more at BakerMarine.com.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader in fishing trips to Cedros Island. We have set the bar even higher with our second lodge opening for the 2022 season. Side-by-side lodges sitting on the cliff's edge with relaxing ocean views. With direct flights departing through the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the Yellowtail and Calico Bass Capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at Cedros Sport Fishing.
It's employee pricing, and it's happening now at your San Diego County Ford dealers. That's right, employee pricing across a full lineup for trucks and SUVs. A lineup featuring California's number one truck brand and Ford F-Series, America's all-time best-selling SUV and Ford Explorer, the iconic Ford Bronco, and more. No automaker employs more hourly workers or assembles more vehicles here in America than Ford Motor Company. And that's a commitment your San Diego County Ford dealers share by offering employee pricing to you. It's only for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Hurry to your local San Diego County Ford dealer today.
All right, we're going to have Duke flip the prize coin for the trip on the Liberty. Go for it, Duke, right there.
It's Texter.
Today is the Texter's Paul. Paul in Fountain Valley. Congratulations.
Right. Congratulations, Paul. You win that trip on the Liberty. And Duke and Tim, man, what a great show. We could go on for another 4 hours, right?
We
just got to do it again.
Yeah, we could.
So if somebody wants to book a trip on the Royal Star, I know your trips are pretty full at this point. Do we have any chances to get on?
So even when the trips are full, it's always worth a phone call to Tracy in the office, 619-224-4764. She works miracles.
Right.
And she's got a
put
lot
you
of,
on the list and exactly. say, hey, I got an opening on this. Let's talk hookup 4 day, for example.
Right. Get on a waiting list because, it happens all the time. Openings become available last minute within the last couple of weeks. So give her a call regardless if you want to go on a trip and she'll, do her best to work her magic and get you on. Otherwise, hey, I'll let Duke talk about the social media because he got it rocking on the internet.
Yeah, he does. A lot of social media. Tell us about how do we connect?
So we're on Instagram right now. We're working on other platforms in the future right now, but we want to focus on Instagram. That is all undercase, Royal_StarSportFishing. Once again, Royal_StarSportFishing. We post pretty much daily content of our trips and we really like to
live from the boat.
Live from the boat, obviously. And live from land too. I'll get pictures from the guys and from whoever's running that trip. We'll put good content out, whether it's the schools or our anglers having a good time. we really like to feature the anglers more than the crew.
No, it's great stuff.
Yeah, so yeah. So
you're doing it, and so that's you.
Yeah, that's all me.
Of course,
it's all me.
Right? Yeah, fantastic.
I'm still old school. Yeah, WorldStarSportFishing.com, like daily fish reports for the picture. You know, I still like to keep the daily narrative going.
Well, great to have you guys here. Hey, tomorrow on Let's Talk Hookup, thanks, by the way, to Alex in the studio there, and thanks to Adam for doing the Let's Talk Hookup. Tomorrow, Captain Dave Marciano and Nancy Marciano and Captain Bob Cook from Wicked Tuna will be back 7 to 9 a.m. Ricky will be back in town. Thanks, Corey, for being here, and we'll see you tomorrow morning, 7 to 9 on Let's Talk Hookup app, YouTube, Facebook Live, and 97.3 The Fan.